chattering. This is Magic the Chattering, a Night of the Living Geeks production. I am one of your hosts, Mitch, and joining me again is my partner in crime, Brandon.
What's going on?
Not much. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. We got a special guest here.
A special guest.
The specialist of all the guests.
It's my old college friend, Eric Torres.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, man?
Not bad. How are you?
Good.
So, Battle for Zendikar just hit.
Yeah.
It's been a real nice feeling, you know, sitting around cracking packs, scrubbing out and pre-releases.
It's been amazing playing Eldrazi.
Oh, man. It's kind of fun because the Eldrazi don't have Annihilator anymore, but they're still just as dangerous.
Like, yeah, that was a kind of an oppressive ability when it first came out.
Yeah.
And it came down to like whoever played an Eldrazi first kind of dominated.
I really don't miss Annihilator. There is one creature that has like this pseudo Annihilator. It's not actually Annihilator, but when it attacks, it exiles two. So I played at 8-Bit Gamers and Isle of Gamers and did not do so hot.
Did not do so hot. What were your records?
8-Bit Gamers, I went 1-2.
Nice.
And Isle of Gamers was mostly because Eric John wanted to play, and he had nobody to go with him on Sunday, so I was like, sweet, I'd like to open another pre-release pack.
Yeah.
And then it was like, it'll be 6 rounds, and I was like, yeah, it's a Sunday, I don't think so, I'm gonna go home. So, I mean, I opened well, but I just didn't play well. It's super, you're super reliant on fixing. Like, it's so much more important in this, especially with Bramp, because you want to drop giant tentacle monsters.
Yeah. Well, because from what it would look like to me, it's like there's like a couple of decks that are going to be 2 or 3 colors or 3 or 4 colors. Or
yeah, yes.
2 colors with some light splashing for whatever, what's that, Converge mechanic?
Yeah, and that mechanic is pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
There are some pretty good cards out there that have it.
Yeah.
I have an example right here. Wrong one. Wrong pile. Like Skyrider Elf.
Oh, it's so good.
Let me see. So it's X, blue, and a green for flying 0/0, and it comes into play with a +1/+1 counter for each color of mana spent to cast it. So at a minimum, it's a 2/2, and that's a solid deal.
Especially for a flyer? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's at worst it's a 2/2, and at most it's a 5/5.
I mean, yeah, at most it's a 5/5, but like your baseline is a 2/2 flyer for 2 mana, and that
seems pretty good.
It's a good deal. I'm in.
Yeah, like I'm cool with that. Was it Tajuru Scout? It's a 3-cost 0/1 with Converge, and if you cast it with the full Converge, it's a 3/4 for 3.
Not bad.
It's pretty good for like a generic 3-drop. It's pretty solid.
Yeah, but
I mean, there are better 3-drops to have, but if you're kind of stuck, it's not bad.
Yeah.
So did you also do 2 pre-releases? Yes,
I also did 2 pre-releases.
Okay.
So I'll go over my rares for my first one. So my special promo was Angelic Captain.
This is a 3 red and a white for a 4/3 flying. Whenever it attacks, it gets +1/+1 until end of turn for each other attacking ally.
That one in my deck.
Well, good thing I read it then.
It's a super good card though. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I've seen people get wrecked by it.
Now we got Radiant Flames, another Converge card.
So this is 2 and a red for a sorcery, and it Converge Radiant Flames deals X damage to each creature, where X is the number of colors of mana spent to cast Radiant Flames. So at most you can deal 3 damage. Mm-hmm. So it's a sweet volcanic fallout.
That also was not in my deck.
I'm sensing a theme here.
All right, the first one actually was in my deck. Lumbering Falls.
This is the then one of the new man lands, person lands, animate lands. Enters the battlefield tapped, blue and a green. 2 blue and a green, Lumbering Falls becomes a 3/3 blue, green and blue elemental creature until with hexproof until end of turn, it's still a land.
Mm-hmm. Which, I actually splashed for this card.
Yeah.
Yeah, it the whole hexproof thing is like a huge, huge problem for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because you know, it's a new card, people don't understand what's going on, and then they're like, oh, this doesn't work.
Yeah.
I can't target that.
Then we got Wasteland Strangler.
This is 2 and a black for a 3/2 devoid Eldrazi processor. When it enters the battlefield, you may process a card. If you do, target creature gets -3/-3 until end of turn. That's really good if you've got Ingest.
Next one, Conduit of Ruin.
This is a 6 mana Eldrazi for a 5/5. And whenever you cast it, you get to search your library for a colorless creature card with converted mana cost 7 or greater, reveal it, shuffle your library, and put that card on top of it. The first creature spell you cast each turn costs 2 colorless less to cast. Holy shit.
It's kind of cool, right?
That's pretty great.
Then we got Endless One.
You're going to make me read all these, aren't you?
Of course.
It's X for 0/0. That doesn't seem great. It enters the battlefield with X +1/+1 counters on it. So
that is by far the sweetest 3-4 drop.
For sure.
Like, there are so many people who are like, turn 4, 4/4 Endless One.
Yeah.
Okay, so answers? Because there are so many things that in this that's removal, and it deals with threes. So there's Complete Disregard, which is 3 power.
Yeah.
There's Touch of the Void, which is deal 3 damage. And it's just outside of that range.
Yeah, that's like one thing I've heard BFC people talk limited. About a lot is like, what's the key toughness in a format?
In this one, it's 4. Like,
yeah, I mean, like
4 toughness right now.
The 3-4 barrier. So, like, if it's 4 toughness, it's pretty safe from removal.
Absolutely.
So.
And here's my final rare. You can actually read this one yourself.
Ulamog, the Ceaseless Hunger. I'm going to, like, really drop that one down in the post. 10 mana for a 10/10 legendary creature Eldrazi. Whenever you cast him, exile 2 target permanents, indestructible. And whenever he attacks, defending player exiles the top 20 cards of his or her library. So basically, that's 10 mana win the game.
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
And here's my story from this first pre-release.
All right.
So it was round 3, my first match. My opponent just played Devourer of Armies, I think it's called.
Yes.
Okay.
Breaker of Armies.
Breaker of Armies. In case you want to see it, Mitch. I don't have one with me, but I got the guide. There it is.
So it's an 8 mana, 10/8. And creature Eldrazi, all creatures able to block it, do so. So it's the sweetest prized unicorn ever.
Well, it's especially sweet when you have Forerunner of Slaughter and you give it haste.
Ugh.
Yeah. Mm. I got to do that to one person, and he goes... Well, I guess I should have killed that.
Yeah, that seems wise.
And the entire time after my opponent played it, I'm like, don't worry, I'm not worried. And then my next turn, sacrificed a Scion, had 9 mana. And guess what was the first thing I exiled?
Was it one of his lands?
Yes,
one of his lands. Oh, man. There's... People were getting really excited with the whole Awaken mechanic, and they were like, boom, I'm going to make all my lands creatures. And then I had some dude who kept making, he had Noyan Dar in play, which is the blue-white ally legend.
Yeah.
So every time he casts an instant or sorcery, he turns one of your lands into a 3/3. He can turn a land into a 3/3. So he made
a triggered Awaken, or?
I mean, it's, you know, cast an instant.
Yeah.
I'll make one of my lands a 3/3. So he did it a bunch, and then I Radiant Flames, and I nuked like 4 lands. And then I think I saw his insides cry. Like, I could see that. Like,
is it like that episode of The Simpsons when Ralph Wiggum, like, they replay the videotape? It's like you can see the exact moment his heart breaks.
Yes. So this happened at 8-bit, and the guy was really excited, really excited, and then he stopped becoming really excited.
Did you play it, and you're like, I choose you.
It was, you're tapped out, right? Yeah, I'm tapped out. Okay.
The scariest phrase in Magic Limited, are you tapped out?
So he goes, yes, I'm tapped out, and I go,
yep.
So I'd like to Radiant Flames... For 3? Oh, okay. And then he scoops up all those creatures.
And
your lands are dead, too, because they're creatures. And he goes, oh, game 2?
Game 2. Only Brandon would find a way to cast Ravages of War in Battle for Zendikar Limited.
Let me tell you. I was pretty proud of myself. I mean, the guy should have expected it. I was playing
red. You're assuming he knows you.
That is true. And this is the guy who's
I would expect you to Radiant Flames my lands, but
this is the guy who goes, "Oh man, I'm so excited. I haven't played Magic in like 6 years." And I went, "Beautiful."
Hey buddy, welcome to the bad times.
And he goes, "Oh man, this place seems like it's so cool. Everybody's so friendly. This is at 8-bit." And I'm like, "I'm going to crush your dreams."
Yeah, I was like, this guy got the worst draw of opponents to come back to playing Magic.
And so when his buddy comes up and goes, "So how'd you do?" And he goes, "He killed my land."
He killed my lands.
He goes, "He dealt 3 damage to all of my lands. I made creatures." And he goes, "I don't know what to tell you other than don't make them creatures."
Yeah, buddy. Radiant Flames is a card.
Yeah, I mean, he did have a decent enough deck.
Make him 4/4s, buddy.
He did have a decent enough deck, but it was just not enough.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I did much better at 8-bit than I did at Isle, but still not saying much with my terrible records.
Well, great job.
Well, fortunately, there's more to the story.
Oh.
It's okay.
So
I cast Ulamog. My opponent was all like, "It's fine." And then they played their next turn.
Uh-huh.
Because they were all like, "I still have the..." Can't remember the name of the card. It's the white. It's not Quarantine Field. The other one. The uncommon one. Brandon, help me.
Which one?
The uncommon O-ring.
Oh, was the Stasis Snare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, "I still have Stasis Snare in my deck, so I can still win." So then they pass turn.
Uh-huh.
I swung with Ulamog. And as soon as that Stasis Field got exiled. But they didn't concede yet. And then...
You know, that's a smart play. You never concede until the game is over.
Then Endless One for 11.
You're like, "Now do I win?"
Yes, then they conceded after that point.
Fine.
Yeah, Stasis Snare is a super real card, and somebody I was playing at Isle opened 3 of them, and I was like, "Okay, so I swing in with my big 6/6 Deathless One," and then he goes, "Stasis Snare."
Does it have flash?
It does.
Oh.
2 white and a colorless, and it has flash.
That's
it only hits creatures though. I mean, okay. So he goes, "Yeah, boom, your dude's out." And I went, "Okay." Next turn, Duststalker, attack. And so it's 5/3 haste.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Stasis Snare." And I go, "Okay."
How many of those fucking things do you have?
I was like, okay. Two is fine. I guess I can deal with 2. And then I go, "Okay." So I cast my Tajira Scout for the 3/4 for the full cost. And he goes, Stasis Snare. And I was like, "What is going on? What just...
Is this real life?"
I don't understand anything anymore.
It's uncommon too, right?
Yeah.
And it was sealed?
Yeah.
That's not fair.
So I'm like, okay. So good game? I had nothing. I was dead drawing. And yeah, that scout was the last creature I conceivably had that could do anything.
That sucks.
So this is the guy who had 3 Stasis Snares and a Quarantine Field, and I went, "This is just uncomfortable. Like, I'm so... Whatever. I'm done.
All the removal."
Yeah. He was playing the Black-White Allies, Vampires. And it's like double Zulaport Cutthroats. He's got the Snares. He's got the Vampire Ally that... Kind of like Zulaport Cutthroat. I forgot its name.
Let me find it.
I think it's like 1 in a black.
It's just really...
Calastria Healer?
Yes, yeah. And he's got like just the nuts when it comes to this Black-White Allies deck. So, yeah. He 2-0'd me pretty quick.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. My deck did not do anything against that deck.
Okay, so what about your other story?
All right. So I was doing the second pre-release. Brandon was sitting right next to me.
Yep.
At the time.
Oh, so hold on. I'd like to just throw this out there. in the two events that I'm in, there's my friend John who's sitting next to me at 8-Bit Gamers, and I go, okay, do I want this pack or this pack? And he goes, I'll just take this one. He grabs one out of my hand. I go, all right, friend, that's cool, whatever. And he he goes, oh, sweet, look what I opened. Bloodstainmire. And I went, okay, John's my friend. I'm cool with this. That's fine. I'm going to open a case. I'm going to get some expeditions. Yeah. Don't even worry about it. Day two, Eric sits down next to me and opens Steam Vents. And I'm like, so everybody sits next to me gets to open value. Is this the rule?
I'm going
to
call you over when I do a pre-release on Magic Online. Just so I can open an expedition in front of you.
Yeah, that was...
Thanks, buddy.
I just did not understand what was going on because everybody around me was opening great cards.
Have you tried... Yeah. Did you try just opening great cards?
I did. I really tried, and it just didn't work.
But you didn't. Next time, just open better cards.
Okay.
That's my recommendation.
I'm writing that note down right now.
Okay. Good job.
Sorry, go ahead, Eric.
Tangents.
If you didn't mention it, I would have mentioned it.
Yeah, I know you would have. I know. I'm jumping the gun and saving myself here.
All right, so this time I actually played every single rare I opened in my deck.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So okay. I had Akum Hellkite was my promo this time.
4 and 2 red for 4/4 flying landfall. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, it deals 1 damage to target creature or player. If it was a mountain, you get 2 damage instead.
That card's super good.
Yeah. That's the one question I kind of wanted to ask you guys. Does it feel like it's faster than original Zendikar? Or
no.
No.
I mean, slower. Slower than original Zendikar is what I meant
yes.
to say.
Those Scions do work.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of nuts. How much one power matters.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all. All right, what else you got?
All right, my next rare, which 5 out of the 6 people at our table all opened this rare at our table.
And I opened 2, so I covered the last guy.
Beast Collar Savant.
It's 1 and a green for a 1/1 haste. Add one mana of any color to your mana pool. You can only use it on a creature spell. That seems...
Everybody good. Opened one except for me, which I opened 2, and the guy across from me didn't open any, so I had him covered. And it was the everybody going, wait, you opened one too?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, it started off with a guy across from me was all like, oh, this is the promo I opened. I'm like, yeah, I opened that too. And then Brandon chimed in, so did I. And then everyone else, me too.
That's awesome.
I also opened Brandon's promo.
Oh, I got a good promo at Isle. Oh.
This guy looks familiar. Dragon Master Outcast. 1 red mana for a 1/1. At the beginning of your upkeep, if you control 6 or more lands, you get a 5/5 red dragon creature token with flying. That seems...
It was pretty good when it was first printed, and it's still pretty good now.
Yeah, it's just the rough part is the 1 mana 1/1.
Yeah, but it's not like you're playing it on the first turn. You want to hold it back because you obviously don't want it to die immediately.
Yeah.
But. So I opened one of the dual lands from the set.
The Tango lands.
No.
I hate that that's actually what they're called.
It takes 2 others to tango.
Yeah.
It's so dumb. I love that they have land types, though.
Yeah, that's an awesome part. It's just really... really dumb that they're called that.
All right.
I did that just to I said that despite you.
Oh, I'm aware. I'm
Woodland Wanderer. 3 and a green for a 2/2 Vigilance Trample. It enters the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter on it for each color of mana spent to cast it. So it could be a 6/6. That seems great.
And I did cast it for 6/6 once.
You're a monster.
So that card and Undergrowth Champion are like crazy and they get
Underworld Champion?
Underwear Champion. Those two cards get work done. It is ridiculous.
Yeah. Nice.
Vigilance and Trample.
That's always good. Like any amount that card is cash for.
There's a lot of speculation of whether or not that'll make it into Obzon decks. Because it comes down as a 4/4.
Yeah, but it doesn't do anything for...
I mean, it's...
That's just worse Siege Rhino.
At this point, it's speculation. They're kind of figuring out... They're losing some cards... trying to figure out, oh, do we go the aggro path or do we go the more mid-range control path? I think it's cute. I don't think it's got a place, but I think it's entertaining.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And here's my final rare.
Your final rare. Nissa's Renewal, 5 and a green for a sorcery. Search your library for up to 3 basic land cards and put them on the battlefield. Tap, then shuffle your library and you gain 7 life. All of those seem not great.
It was 15.
They gotta make junky rares.
That's true.
They do. And since I was playing so many colors, I'm like, I gotta throw you in just to play all my colors.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just rough fixing at 6 mana, though.
It is very expensive fixing. Yeah. It's when it happens, though, it's a kind of a game changer. It's not something
you're not
obviously drafting it or throwing it in first pick.
Because you'd want the search for library, the land fixing, you'd want that early, so you'd want that to cost less. And so I guess sometimes in the late games it's thinning out your deck with extra lands. Marginally improving your next few draws and gaining some life. That's the most important part. But cards that just do life gain are, the best.
Yeah, no, it's there was one guy at 8-bit who, so he goes turn 3, call the Scion, so he gets 2 Scion tokens. Turn 4, plays From Beyond. Turn 5, plays that. And then just kind of went crazy from there. But, I mean, his deck kind of had all the ramp cards, so it was kind of...
If you're doing that, then that's probably a reasonable thing to ramp to.
Yeah, and then...
Or ramp with.
I think at the end of the night, I heard him say 13-13 Endless One, and I kind of was like... So we went and just got super greedy.
Yeah.
we didn't even consider holding back a tiny bit.
Scrooge McDuck over here.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. And then the guy
I can get behind that though.
Yeah, and then it got Grip of Desolation, so exiled.
Oh.
Like the guy tapped out and sacrificed
all his. So he got what he deserved. That's what you're trying to tell me.
Absolutely. So the guy had an awakened land and his 13-13, and then the guy goes, his opponent goes, Grip of Desolation, hits the land, and then hits his creature and goes, response? It was kind of like, it was the biggest dick move because the guy had tapped out and sacked all the Scions. I mean, I don't blame the guy for kind of rubbing it in his face, but at the same time, I was like, did you really need to say that? Because
that's exactly what you would do.
Yes, I would. I absolutely would.
So this one, I won my first match and then lost the second match because I was mana screwed and I had this in my hand.
Yeah.
I was just staring at it and was like, why can't I cast you? Oh, by the way, it's Nissa's Renewal, since I know you can't see this card.
Oh, yes. That's some quality audio work there with this card.
And because of that, I learned this is definitely an 18 land.
If all the listeners could see what I'm pointing at. So
this is definitely an 18 land format.
Yeah, it's...
I think it's probably... I don't know. I have no experience, so... But I would assume, the landfall and the converged decks would definitely want more lands than the two-color, Eldrazi side decks.
Also, these were two of my best removal spells.
All right, we've got Rolling Thunder, because that's the greatest card in Magic history.
Yep.
X red red, and it deals X damage divided as you choose among any number of target creatures and or players. And Stone Fury, which is 3 and a red, 3 red red for deals damage to target creature equal to the number of lands you control, which seems insane and just gets better and better.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But I love Rolling Thunder. I've got a pauper deck based on it where I can just put a ton of mana into it.
It's an amazing card, and the fact that they had reprinted it, and I read it and kind of went, oh, okay, Rolling Thunder, and then
Rolling Thunder.
A few days later, I had to go back and went, what did I miss?
Sir, as soon as I saw it spoiled, I'm like, what? Rolling Thunder.
Rolling Thunder.
Yeah, no, the fact that it's back is awesome.
It's back, baby.
I'm very excited that it's. That it's back in the format.
Very glad it's uncommon.
Yep. I don't see it getting dropped. It's too powerful to be a common, and it's not powerful enough to be a rare.
Yeah.
But I do love the new art on it. It is crazy sweet.
It's a little a bunch of fire and something Eldrazi getting burned to shit.
They're really the Eldrazi are really
good. I don't know. As a Californian, dying. I think it's a little too real. The fire, forest fire.
I see. So.
That's right. Magic the Chattering gets political.
So, did you already open your box?
I did.
And what was the best card you pulled?
The one with the most value would probably be the blue-white duel.
Did you get the expedition for it?
No. Just the regular one.
That's still good. Lands are always worth at least opening and having, because you don't want to have to buy them again. But yeah, it's... I've noticed that the opening has been all over the place. There have been people reporting like amazing boxes, and then some going, so I bought another one because I felt bad. And then I think it's one of the Isle people. He went on a tirade about, like, I bought a box and I didn't get an expedition, and he wasn't listening to anybody saying it's like 1 to 2, potentially 2 to 3 per case.
Yeah.
Not box. You're not guaranteed one per box, because that would have been insane. And I think after a little while, it finally clicked, and he goes, so where can I buy some more boxes, guys?
Wait, was the person in the story you, Brandon?
No, because I opened 2. David opened 3.
How many boxes did you open?
I opened a case, yeah. I got a Scalding Tarn and a Breeding Pool.
Nice.
And then I've acquired a second Breeding Pool at this point just to trade. David opened 3, which was pretty impressive. So he got an Overgrown Tomb, a Marsh Flats, and a Windswept Heath, which are all solid.
Yeah.
And so Eric John I dropped off something to him, and he's got his case in his car, and he goes, so I work until midnight, and there's a case of Magic in my car. This is going to be a
rough night.
A not very productive night. And so he messages me, because he got off at midnight, and he messages me at like 2:30 in the morning going, hey, are these good? And he's got Misty Rainforest and, like, I think it's Steam Vents. And I'm like, why? I could appreciate those, but 2:30 in the morning is not when I do it. No, though, Misty Rainforest being the, even though it's the third most expensive, it's a beautiful looking land.
Yeah.
Are
they all foil?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're the same kind of look as the From the Vaults, except they don't feel as cheesy. So, I mean, I like what they did with them. I think it's definitely extremely well done.
Yeah, I just don't like foil cards at all.
Yeah,
I'm the only Magic player that hates foil cards.
You know, it's preference. If, you know, some people just don't like the fact that foils warp. They don't like the fact that, you know, it's harder to do deals when you have foils, because people are like, oh, well, I don't have that much value.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let me pull out so this is the Scalding Tarn. This is the Breeding Pool.
The art is great.
Yo, God, the art is beautiful.
I do like that the Pain Lands, or the Shock Lands, have Zendikar-related art. Yeah. They all have Zendikar-related art.
Yeah, so I forgot who did all the shocks. It's Noah Bradley did all the Shock Lands.
Yeah.
And then I think a bunch of different artists did the Fetch Lands.
Mm-hmm.
But Noah Bradley was actually showing off, like, all of his sketches on Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
He was showing all the sketches and all, like, the process he went through. And it was really cool, because they kind of... Wizards has really focused down on their art in, like, the last 10 years. And he kind of mentioned, like, they said, make everything Hedron and Eldrazi related. And he goes, I guess I can do this. And just, like, Sacred Foundry is 4 Hedrons pushed together, like, with this giant, like, fireball in the middle of it. And it's insane looking.
Wow.
And, like, endless, I think Godless Shrine has to be my favorite, though. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
It looks like Kozilek sitting there, like this decrepit statue, and then there's Hedrons all over the place, and it's just this, like, foul, disgusting-looking place.
Hmm.
And it looks like a desecrated temple. It's amazing. And, I mean, they really hit it out of the park with this, and kind of the nice part is all of the prices are dropping really fast.
Oh,
because
yeah?
The market's flooding.
You know, reasonable.
Yeah, tons of people are like, oh, these things are going to gain tons of value. And yeah, in the beginning, there's speculative value, but
yeah, but those...
the market floods, and I mean, a lot of these, like Polluted Delta was $450 when it was first pre-order.
Yeah.
And now it's, I think, $360.
Not bad.
I mean, it dropped nearly $100. Like, that's a huge drop in less than a week.
$450.
Yeah.
$400. I thought you meant $4.50. I'm like, shit, that's reasonable.
No. $400. It was pre-ordering singularly for $450. And this dropped down to $360.
That is insanity. It's ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of the people who I think are being targeted is legacy players.
Yeah, because they're like, let me get my deck just completely glossed out.
Well, they got nothing else to spend their money on. But, yeah, it's even, I've noticed, even one box, you still get tons of value.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I, of course, me, I go overboard and I get six.
Yeah, because that's you.
Mm-hmm.
But, how many Planeswalkers did you get out of your box?
Well, I opened a box and then I also got four Fat Packs, so.
Oh, you got your hands on some.
Yeah. Well, I pre-ordered those.
Oh, you did the smart thing.
Mm-hmm.
you've seen all the allocation issues and this and that, right, Mitch?
Sure.
So, like Australia pretty much got screwed. Like they got the entire continent got less than half of what they ordered.
Wow.
Yeah. Their pre-release, their main place for it's like their main spot for pre-release stuff, they had to take like 200 pre-release boxes and give them to smaller stores because they got zero.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's kind of nuts. It's very sad that kind of happened, but at the same time, it happens.
Yeah. I don't think I've heard this happening before, so.
It's happened once before. But at this point, if you can find a Fat Pack and it's not $75, you should buy it.
Of Battle?
Yeah. Mm. Because, you know, MSRP is obviously $40.
Yeah.
But Star City Games right now is selling them for $80. I think Channel Fireball is selling them for about $75.
Or you could wait just like 3 months.
I've heard from stores right now that they're actually getting requests from their distributors to pre-order their amounts of Oath for the Gatewalk right now.
Yeah, seems right.
I mean, Battle just hit and they're this concerned. So, I mean, if you can find it, you should buy it. But it's at the same time, you know, do you want full art lands?
Because those are sweet. Oh, that's right. So they have the full art lands in the Fat Pack. I forgot about that. I'm like, buy a Fat Pack. Who gives a shit? They're just packs.
So, Eric, are you pimping out all of your commander decks? Full art lands?
Yes. But they were already pimped out with the old Zendikar lands.
Well, now you why have any other kind of land?
I know. I mean, unless you're loaning them out to people, I mean, then that's a concern because you give them the not foil art lands.
Right.
But, you know, I don't use non-foil art lands. I'm above
that's
that.
Because you have, like, 800 of each. Because you bought literally 99 cases of Zendikar.
Okay, original Zendikar, I bought, like, 18 boxes.
More than the normal man should buy. 18 boxes?
Yeah.
No, that seems low.
But, I mean, yeah, it's crazy right now. I think the lead time is 3 weeks to get a Fat Pack, and it's like another week and a half to get a box.
Wow. That's rough.
Yeah, it is. Oh, there was one thing that we didn't ask you, Eric.
Mm.
What's your commander?
Oh yeah. Fancy. Our standard guest.
Yeah, we missed that. I'm sorry.
All right. So I was part of your draft league. Yes. Yeah, build the Melnik deck from that, which I still have to play.
Yeah, it's just timing. Timing is rough.
So I've had two commander decks before that. The first one I built was an Olivia Vol'jaren deck, completely nice. Vampire Tribal.
Oh, man, Battle totally loads you up, too.
Yep.
New Drana, yep. All those vampire allies.
Yep. And I opened them all, so I'm happy to have new additions for that deck.
Nice.
And the other deck I built was Lavinia of the Tenth.
Oh, she's the pro red detain chick.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Yeah, she's...
That's not from...
No, no, she's from Dragon's Maze.
Dragon's Maze.
She was the maze runner for Azorius.
Ah, explains why I don't recognize her. I don't think I played any Dragon's Maze.
It was really... Because when they were spoiling Dragon's Maze, I was like, oh, okay, so this is the champion. She randomly has pro red. Okay, whatever.
Yeah, moving on.
This is Azorius. I don't play that. Whatever. But, I don't think I've played... I've played against, I believe, your Olivia deck once. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe I've played against your Azorius deck.
So it's Flicker City, a lot of control.
Ooh, that sounds no fun.
I really want to play against it now. I love a challenge. Yeah, it's, I don't think I've ever heard of anybody else building her.
I pretty much built her as soon as the set came out. Like, I'm building a commander around this card right now.
Yeah, because I've played a bunch of Olivia Voldaren, but never Lavinia. Like, it's... I don't think anybody's... Like, I've played against the Gruul one, with Runic Thar, Melek. Melek's a really popular one. Varals, which that... I think the one deck I played against was terrible. But... Yeah, I don't think that many people play an Azorius one.
I mean, I've seen Azorius decks, though. Not specifically Azorius commanders, though.
I think it's typically, like, Grand Arbiter is, like, the popular choice.
Or Hannah.
Oh, yeah. Hannah.
Hannah Ship's Navigator.
Oh, man, a good Hannah deck is really frustrating.
So, we were playing for our friend Nate's commander. We had, a dozen people there to play commander. And we randomly selected decks for people to play and randomly selected groups for them to be in. And so I got our friend Nate's Hannah deck. And so I played like a turn one Sol Ring and something else. I think it was Sol Ring into Sensei's Top and another Mana Accelerant on turn two. And then I played Venser turn three and I had ultimated him by like turn five. And everybody's just like, we can't fucking win.
I think, if I remember right.
And then they all quit. I'm like, you know, let me exile everything first. Then you can quit.
I think the words out of your mouth were, Nate, I love you. You're a monster.
Yeah, that was a good time.
Because I was playing, I think you were completely across the table from me, opposite side. And then everybody finished, and I was like, wow, that was really quick. No, it turns out everybody quit. It was like...
Well, I think I ended up killing like Brandon, Brandon B Carter. Squared,
yeah,
and then everyone else just like we're not gonna fuck with this shit anymore.
Oh man,
I ended up with the Consecrated Sphinx too, and
oh, so you just got real dirty.
Yeah.
Oh my god,
it was a good time.
Terrible.
It's completely the opposite ethos of any deck I would build, because I just put in big creatures and fun spells. So that was a change of pace, but
see, it feels great from the position I sit in, right?
Like I didn't feel great about it. I had a lot of fun. I didn't feel great about it.
Oh, see, that's the thing. You got to just roll around in that feeling, just like let it soak up. It's such a great feeling.
There's a fine line between like enjoying it and having fun and thinking I did a good thing.
I mean, I think the draft day we did Star. And I did the Vindicate Sliver.
Was this when we were playing Modern Masters?
No. We were playing the Commander Draft at Eric John's place.
Oh, I was not there.
And I made infinite slivers, and gross. They all had, you know, the Vindicate ability, and I blew up everything that David and Colin owned except for Hive Mind.
I thought we told Colin he couldn't play with Hive Mind anymore.
No. It's required. Every game he plays has to have Hive Mind.
God, I don't like it.
We had a game that lasted nearly forever because Colin had Hive Mind and everybody kept casting shit.
And so we had to like spend 20 minutes on each spell figuring out like, all right, well, I get to cast this one first and then he casts the next one and then this guy casts the one after that.
You could see the steam and smoke coming out of Mitch's head.
Well, that's just because I wanted to do it right. I wanted to make sure we got all the spells taken care of. But Colin had to play Hive Mind and make my brain... I'm so mad.
Is there a Hive Mind in Melek?
No, there's no
time. Oh.
You may return.
You know, we should just have a rule. Always Hive Mind. There's a Hive Mind to play at all times.
No. That's the worst.
Oh, Hive Mind.
Just bring Hive Mind. All right. New rule. Hive Mind starts the game.
All right. So I wanted to talk about my dual decks experience.
All right. So.
So I got the, what is it? It's all the Zen, the,
Zendikar versus Eldrazi.
Yeah. Zendikar versus Eldrazi. So I went to the, we went to the MTG. It was, what was it? The WMCQ World Magic Cup qualifier.
Yes. Yes.
And my dad was like, he's been watching, like I'll watch, streaming magic, like the coverage of whatever Pro Tour or GP is playing of that weekend, mm-hmm. and he'll walk up behind me and watch it with me and start asking, and I'll start explaining to him like what's going on. So he's like kind of been mildly interested in magic for a while. He's like, and so I was going to this magic thing. He's like, you should buy a. Is there like a deck or something you could buy and we could play like something easy and we could learn together where we're on the same kind of footing? I'm like, yeah, dual decks would be perfect for that. So I went to the WMCQ and I got one and I brought it home and I was teaching him to play. So I'm like, well, let's play this game face up and I can help you out, tell you why we're making decisions and everything. And because he kind of knows the gist of how to play.
Well, we should also mention your dad has like old school cards. Like,
yeah. So like he started collecting in like Unlimited Revised Era. And he had a whole set of those cards, but never really like learned or figured out how to play. So I was sitting there trying to teach him. And we're playing face up, and I'm just like, I'll go easy on him, or, you know, I'm not gonna, like, actively try to really.
You're not gonna steamroll your dad who's learning the game.
Yeah, because I'm like, I don't want to have a good experience, and I was like, I was thinking like, it's gonna be easy, it's gonna be fine, and then I'm just like, playing, I'm like feeling kind of bad because I'm about to start like really just destroying him, and all of a sudden he pulls Avenger of Zendikar and play, and I'm like, yeah, you should play that. And then, like, I just had no chance to win after that. Yeah, I was like, wait, do it this way so they get bigger.
So you're, like, painfully telling him how to kill you.
Yeah.
No, don't target that one. Target this one.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so he beats me the first game, and then we play another one, and then I kind of, we played it not face up, and I was just, and kind of helped him a little bit still, but then I beat him, but.
Overall, what's your impression of the dual deck?
I don't know. It's hard to say because I've only played literally two games with them.
Oh, you didn't play anything beyond the two?
No. I haven't had a chance to play it again, but the cards are pretty.
Yeah, they are. I hate the set Oblivion Sower versus the dual deck one. The dual deck Oblivion Sower is way nicer looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, the set one's kind of just gross. I got one right here.
More good content for this audio podcast.
See, like, the dual deck one looks just way sweeter, and this one is, because the dual deck one, it's got, you know, like, it's not so focused like the set one is on the actual creature. It's like, you can see all this, like, ether and, like, magic coalescing above it.
Yeah.
And then this one, it's just kind of, it's like this weird, like, squid crab monster pulling lightning from the ground.
It looked awesome.
And I was...
One thing I wanted to say about these new Eldrazi is they're doing weird things like pulling cards from exile and putting them in the graveyard and taking cards on the top of your deck and exiling them. And I just think that's a neat, like they said that they wanted to do weird things with Eldrazi, like they're doing things other cards don't care about. And I think that's really neat.
Yeah, Mara was saying he really wanted this to be like an alien mechanic.
Yeah.
And I really feel like they captured that like super well.
Yeah, they're just doing weird shit. And you're like, why?
You know what's good against? Imprint.
Oh, wow. Because it just picks any card from exile.
What's that?
When you process stuff,
yeah.
It's stated as it's a card from exile that they control.
Oh.
So if they have something imprinted, you could just be like, boop, nope, no longer.
Thanks for playing, Isochron Scepter.
Yep. So I did manage to get my favorite Eldrazi, which is a Sire of Stagnation.
4BB for a 5/7 devoid. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under an opponent's control, that player exiles the top two cards of his or her library, and you draw two cards. I heart you, Sire of Stagnation.
Yeah, this This card is so amazing.
That's the best Moldrifter I've ever seen.
Like, every deck that I'm brewing for game day is some sort of blue-black, because I want to use it.
Like, all right, this is green-white allies splashing blue-black for...
Yeah, I mean, the current deck list I'm going with is Sultai, like a Sultai, like, aggro ramp, and it's just pretty much like...
With your seedy unwritten monstrosity.
Okay, that's like a 50-50. It may or may not make it in there, just because a lot of these are dependent on cast. So, like, Ulamog doesn't exile two permanents unless he's cast. Oblivion Sower is when he's cast. So, see the Unwritten doesn't help as much, but...
Oh, because it puts it into play.
Yeah, it just puts it directly into play. But then again, if you have Ferocious, you get to put two of them. So, I'm kind of still okay with that. I picked up four Shaman of the Forgotten Ways, four Rattleclaw Mystic, and... I'm figuring out something. So, Eric, are you going to play in game day? You going to build anything?
No, probably not.
You're just going to be working?
I'm probably going to be working that day, yeah.
Working.
Oh, sad face.
Working for a living.
I mean, before when I used to do game day, I'm like, all right, I'll buy the event deck and play that. Actually went pretty well most of the time.
The event decks are really good.
Yeah, they're getting better. I just remember the first ones were just not great.
Oh, no, though, because they were building them like precons.
Yeah.
They weren't building them like actual, like, real cards. Like, they were, hey, look at these cute cards that show off the set. It was, this deck is a deck. I don't think I've actually ever bought and played an event deck. I think I just buy it and harvest it for cards.
I bought one of the Legacy ones when they did those, like, many years ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I was like, I'll play Legacy.
Oh, yeah.
Guess how many constructed Legacy games I've played?
Zero?
Like two after I bought the deck. I was like, this is going to be fun. And I just got destroyed by some dumb Legacy deck. And then I played the other Legacy constructed deck. And I'm like, this is stupid.
Yeah, welcome to Legacy.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in a really dumb situation where I spent like $1,500. On a Legacy deck.
That you immediately sold.
I sold it like 6 months later after I was like really tired of playing the same decks over and over again.
Yeah.
This is stupid. And then I should have kept my dual lands, except I was dumb and I saw money on the table and I traded.
Great job.
I don't regret it. It's just it's one of those things that I should have kept my like Underground Seas and stuff like that. But
yeah.
Oh, it is well. What it is.
Now you know that you were dumb. All right. Yeah, let's do it. All right. So our guest, Eric, has kindly provided us with a fresh hot pack of Battle for Zendikar, and we're going to crack it right now.
Let's see what Mitch would pick first if he was drafting.
Well, Mitch plays MTGO and Popper, so it's probably going to be a common...
Commons are factually...
Oh, if there's an Evolving Wilds, boom, pick one, pack one.
I'm not a monster.
There's a new Evolving Wilds picture in the set, so I had to bring Mitch one.
So sweet.
It is really nice looking. So, Eric, I'd like to point out this. That case did pretty well for me.
Yeah.
Three Gideons... I did have four up next list, but I traded one to David for a foil Sire of Stagnation because I love that card.
Yeah.
Then four Drana.
Full art land.
But it's just a basic.
I opened one of each.
You've got a Cinderglade, the green and a red one.
That's pretty good.
So the ones I picked out were Mist Intruder, the one in the blue, Devoid Flying with Ingest for 1/2. Oh, that's not the one I thought it was. I thought it was the disgusting flying, the two miss the 2/1 flyer that makes a Scion.
Oh, what is it?
Spawner?
Sky Spawner or whatever.
Sky Spawner, yeah, that's the one.
Mm-hmm. It looks like an Eldrazi ball sack.
Oh yeah, that's amazing.
I like how excited he is. Oh yeah, all day ball sack.
Give me that
yeah.
ball sack. Demon's Grasp, the sorcery target creature gets -5/-5 until end of turn, and then the Brood Monitor. 4 green, Devoid for a 3/3 where you get 3 Scions. think I might try the removal spell. I would take the removal spell, probably.
That removal spell is pretty solid.
Yeah.
Pretty solid. Why don't you take a look and tell me what you think?
Oh, this is a pretty sweet pack.
I don't know. It seemed like there was a lot of land.
Well, it first and foremost, it does have my favorite squid face tentacled.
The token?
Yeah, I was actively trading for them at every pre-release. Because yeah. I like the squid face.
Give me the one with those tentacles on, buddy.
You know what my people are about.
I do.
I don't know. This is a pretty good pack. I know that Unified Front, it does do pretty well because it makes core allies. And
Is that the white?
Yeah, it's three and a white sorcery converge, and you put a 1/1 core ally token onto the battlefield for each color, you know, for the converge, right? And there were people who were, like, abusing the crap out of it. And it was pretty cool to watch. Didn't work 100% of the time, but it was kind of cool.
Yeah, because I think you're going to be moderately okay with it if you're getting two allies.
Yeah.
You're going to be much more happy, like regular happy with three, but you're never going to create four.
Colin played four colored allies and actually did really well with it. But
I'm not saying that's a great plan.
He also had like a bunch of fixing. Like yeah. his fixing was insane. He had the Lifespring Elf. He had, I think, two Natural Connections and then two Evolving Wilds and an Ally Encampment, I believe. So, I mean, that was like on target.
Mm-hmm.
But that was sealed, though.
No, that was draft.
Oh, draft, really?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Awesome.
You know, I kind of feel like the third card's a bust in this, but I think Brood Monitor, Demon's Grasp, and Adverse Conditions.
Which one's Adverse Conditions?
It's the it's three and a blue. It's the void. Tap two target creatures. They don't untap. And then you put you put one Scion into play.
I don't think I read that card in its entirety.
Was that a wall of text? You just went, nope, never mind.
Well, because there's also the Awaken one that taps a creature, but it doesn't. Oh. I think I assumed it was that one.
Yeah, don't first pick that one.
Yeah.
Adverse Conditions is very good.
Yeah.
The other one, not so much. Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm a huge fan of Brood Monitor. It's double green, but
I mean, it's double green, but you get six power and toughness and four creatures.
Yeah, it's that whole I'm paying six and getting six.
Because like, if you remember, okay with that. If you remember, Kozilek's Predator was amazing.
Yes, absolutely.
And this is just like super Kozilek's Predator.
Yeah.
The trouble just is it's like that's six mana. You're dropping on this beast.
There is one card in there that's pretty cool, which is Swell of Growth. It's one in the green for an instant, and you give a creature +2/+2, and then you get to put a land into play.
Yeah.
Like that card is a real card. It's not a first pick card, but it's a real card.
But it requires a creature for you to target.
Yeah, that's fine. You're playing green.
True, but I'm just saying it's like if you draw that and you're like, I really needed a creature, or I really need to put a land into play.
Well, you just make sure you have creatures. Boom. Problem solved.
And podcast over. Thank you. Thanks for playing, everybody.
All right, Eric, what you got?
This is not my pick, but I remember during the pre-release, a lot of people were confused with this card right here.
It's Skyline Cascade.
No, I read all the cards.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. And so many people, they play it on first turn, and
so
they go.
So Skyline Cascade. It enters the battlefield, taps. When it enters the battlefield, target creature an opponent controls doesn't untap during its controller's next untap step. And you can tap to add blue. What was confusing about this?
They didn't realize it didn't tap the creature.
So it's like the difference between those two blue enchantments that say they don't untap, and one of them actually taps it, and one of them doesn't tap it.
What is this? It's Leaden Fists, I believe. It's +2/+2 and doesn't untap.
No. There's like Narcolepsy and.
Oh, yes.
Claustrophobia.
It's Narcolepsy, the one that doesn't do it, from what I remember.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. If Narcolepsy is at the beginning of an upkeep, if enchanted creature is untapped, then you force tap it.
Yeah.
And Claustrophobia is you tap the creature and then it does not untap.
Yeah. Oh, and okay. Now then I'm thinking of something else. There's another blue enchantment that's not either of those two. That
I think it was from Return to Ravnica.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, the one hilarious part was when people were playing it and then they would read it and get really disappointed.
Yeah.
especially with like one of the best Eldrazi non-rare Eldrazi that came out of this is Deathless Behemoth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a 6-cost 6/6 with a vigilance.
Yeah.
And you sacrifice 2 scions and return it from the graveyard to your hand and only as a sorcerer. You can only play as a sorcery. But it's the fact that it has vigilance. I don't know why it matters so much, but it matters all the time.
Well, vigilance is a great ability no matter what card it's on.
So somebody goes, and he just goes, tap, and he taps his Deathless Behemoth and attacks with it. And I went,
bro. And if you want to.
I don't think that's how the... I'm not going to say anything.
So you know, vigilance.
I'm just going to assume he's doing something. And I just waited, yeah. And he just left it tapped. And then the... I don't think he's a judge at Isle, but he kind of went, this has vigilance. Do you know what vigilance does? And it was like, it was semi-demeaning, but it was like...
I think that's a fair question.
It was
you paid
like,
money to be here. You should know what vigilance means.
It was one of those moments where I was like, wait, do I look like the dick for not saying anything? Or is this one of those
yeah, you do,
strategic
actually.
Things?
I think but, generally if someone's like, this one tapped, I'm tapping my vigilant creature, you're like... Hey, buddy.
But for being
do you know
uncommon,
how do you know what vigilance means?
for being uncommon, it's super good though.
Yeah, I bet
it's extremely cost effective, and the fact that it returns, so you just like pray that they don't play Call the Scions or something dumb.
Yeah,
because then they get it back immediately.
Yeah, soon I'll play some Battle for Zendikar Limited, and I'll be happy, and I can talk to you guys about it. But
all right, so Eric, what are your picks?
He picks Basic Island.
No.
Oh, pro play.
Pro play. Got to keep your options open.
I'm definitely gonna go with Brood Monitor.
Brood Monitor. I think we can agree that's a good starting place.
Yeah, Brood Monitor is. It's a solid card, and especially. Okay, you get rid of my 3/3, I still get to keep my 1/1s.
Yeah.
You know, it's still a pretty awesome card. And at worst, if hoping you've hit all your land drops, you play it on turn 6, and then on turn 7 you drop just a larger monstrosity.
Yeah. You know? Which I think that's the name of the game.
Yes, it is.
Oh, sorry, no, that's Magic the Gathering, my bad.
I love that game.
All right, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/thechattering. Check out this and other great shows on www.notlg.com. Our intro music is by Kevin McLeod. Thanks for listening.
Of the living deep.
We were recording, right?
We are still recording because the button I pressed did not end the button, but this one does.